every week I give a sermon and no one tells me that I'm wrong, so I guess I must be right every time.
What if somebody did tell you you're wrong?
I've had it happen.
Like in the middle of church?
Not in the middle of it. Like no one stood up and been like, you're wrong! Like that one guy who did that to President Obama during his speech. Nobody's ever done that. But
we should do it next Sunday.
Who was that guy?
It was one guy threw a shoe at President Bush. So
that was in another country.
Yeah.
That was in a country where throwing shoes at people was a form of protest as opposed to just weird.
And Bush dodged it like a pro. Yeah. It was really impressive.
Yeah.
Boom. I'm not saying I'm a Bush fan.
Cat-like reflexes.
But like, it was really nice. I like to see a president who can dodge a shoe.
Right.
You know, like,
that feels like it should be on like the entrance exam.
All right, well, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
I missed you guys last week.
We missed you.
Yeah,
I'm sad I was not able to join you. You know, every week we're like, hey, what are we going to talk about? And sometimes it takes us a long time. And then whenever I'm not here, y'all have all these like fun, creative ideas.
We kind of do.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where you're like, you're backed into a corner. And so that's when the creativity happens, right? So, like, oh, yeah, I got it. The adrenaline's kicking. I'm ready to go. But every other week, it's like, Patrick will figure it out. It's fine.
I see how it is.
We rely too heavily on you, I think.
Sure. We do.
It's kind of like
you're the crutch to this podcast.
In college, my motto was, it's not that I work best at the last minute. It's that I only work at the last minute. So
solid.
I've got nothing to compare it to, so it must be best.
Could work great getting these papers done weeks in advance. I have no idea. Right. And I'm not going to know.
Never will know.
Yeah. And it's impossible to say.
Yep.
All right. Well, we've got an article this week.
Okay.
The news.
Well, first we have the news, but then we have an article. But
A little early. Jumping the gun.
Wow.
That's embarrassing.
Yes. But last week, Holy or Hollywood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that would have been a game that you would have enjoyed.
Editing it, I was like, I wish I was there for this.
Yeah.
Question. Did you get Shawshank Redemption?
I can't remember. Because I was like,
sure he would have.
I was probably editing for. Editing out like pauses and things like that.
Sure.
So some of the content I didn't really hear all of it. But I will say.
So he didn't listen to it, is what he's saying. But he enjoyed it.
It was great.
I am the Paul of the podcast. I will say that.
No way.
Definitely.
Come on, you are not Paul McCartney.
Yeah, for sure. If I'm the one doing all the work, then I'm the Paul.
I'm not Ringo.
Nobody's. You could be John.
You could be Yoko.
I'm definitely not Yoko. I'm not tearing this group apart.
Yes.
That you know of.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Paul's Speaking of plot twists.
He was my favorite Beatle. Do you have a favorite Beatle?
Probably Paul.
Yeah.
I mean,
Elise.
I know the most about
George.
Paul because Paul's actually been like around in my lifetime.
Yeah. Ringo's still around.
Yeah, but.
What's he doing?
Poor thing.
Just living his life.
Yeah. Yeah. John Lennon.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite.
Sure. I just don't know enough about John Lennon. Like, I like a couple of the songs that
I just really don't like that song, Imagine.
You don't.
I don't. Whoa. I think it's like so pretentious and like from like this famous rich guy lecturing all of us how we need to be better.
Right.
It's so annoying
to me. They like to do that though. Like Michael Jackson had Man in the Mirror, right?
Yeah.
We just keep recycling this theme.
Man in the Mirror was at least like, it was intended to be self-reflective. Imagine is just like.
As most mirrors are.
Yeah. Hey-o. Hey-o. All right. Let's move on here. So we got a news article from Salon.
All right.
Magazine. So, you know, hey, consider the source.
You getting a haircut? Getting my nails did? What else do we do at a salon? I don't know. I don't go to salons.
Paws and claws, baby.
Paws and claws. All right.
So is that manis and petties? Is that for your dog, though?
Oh, paws and claws would be an excellent dog care.
It would.
If that doesn't exist
if
already.
If I go back into dog grooming on it, that's just what we call it. Yeah,
sure. It happened here, so we own 30% of the rights to paws and claws.
Absolutely.
Even though you said it, and if you do it.
It's through our podcast.
We were here.
Yes.
First, an article here from CNN.
All right. We don't usually get our funny stories from legitimate news sources.
Yes. We do not.
I'm not sure what to do with this.
And I'm sure there's some people out there that say CNN is not a legitimate news source, but you know, whatever.
As this might prove.
This is also, I'm not sure, legitimate news. So CNN World. Scientists are potty training cows in a bid to help save the planet.
Excellent. Cow pottying is a huge producer of methane. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
So what are they doing? I want to know more. I'm intrigued.
If you can potty train a child, you can potty train a cow. That's how this is started.
How about it?
Seems logical. Yeah. I see no problem with that. Yeah.
So they're thinking here, hey, is this a way we can find a solution to environmental damage caused by livestock waste?
All right.
All right, I'm going to tell you something that's crazy to me that when I read, I was like, this can't be right.
Okay.
Farmed cattle produced roughly 66 to 88 pounds of feces mm-hmm. and 8 gallons of urine a day.
Yep. Oof.
That's yeah. just 88 pounds?
How much grass are they eating? Yeah.
How do you get 88 pounds of grass every day just like gnawing on it on the, you know, walking around on the field? That's a lot.
I'm just saying. Have you ever like been to
You're
a farm?
You're just saying what?
I've not. I mean, are you? I mean, I didn't grow up in Ohio, so I don't know.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yes.
I feel like that was an insult.
Methane wasteland.
But also, it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah. You know, Texas.
Like, you know, you walk around a cow farm, I can believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just there's a plenty lot. Of it. Yeah.
So much.
Plus, like, I don't want to get graphic here, but, you know, they're not small. When they go, it's,
sure.
it's a big
lot.
Animal.
It's a yeah. lot. Yeah.
Yeah. The spread of their waste and soil can have negative effects on the environment.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
because methane is bad.
So the scientists said, like, hey. Can we potty train this cow?
Yeah.
Can this cow go into a toilet?
If we can potty train it, we can contain the waste. That's the point. Like they go in a yeah. single area. And
I
then
was going to ask about that. Like how does them going in a specific area contain the methane? Is that, it like a
well,
like a chute? Vacuum. Like a vacuum?
It's I think it's
like on an airplane.
Yeah. Or like pooping in space. Like.
All right. I'm intrigued by your cow astronaut.
The cow astronaut.
Yes.
Wasn't this an old Muppets episode? Oh, it's Pigs in Space. Pigs in Space.
Right. Yeah. Or also Space Force on Netflix, which yeah. is excellent.
Did they put cows
the
in
dogstronaut
space?
And the chimpstronaut. Right.
Yeah.
The chimp beats the dogstronaut.
Yeah. Or a cosmonaut. That's like a cosmonaut. Yeah. So it's like it's like a Russian cow. Yes.
We should write the actual Space Force
about cosmonauts.
Yeah.
These mm-hmm. ideas. Yep.
They say animals are quite clever. Maybe they can learn to use a toilet. So here's how it goes. So they put the cattle into a closed latrine.
And an outhouse. Okay, got
so
it.
Whenever the cow urinated, they were given a reward of sure. either electrolyte mixture or crushed barley.
Who doesn't love a good crushed barley reward? That's what I like.
Or some
yeah.
Gatorade, it looks yeah. like. Yes.
Get my barley-flavored Gatorade. No. Mm.
And once they were allowed outside, the idea was like they'll come back to this little fixture.
Sure, because they want to get the reward.
To potty to get their reward.
This is how you potty train a dog, basically, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, mm-hmm. So we're applying the same principles to the cows.
Yeah, and then they also needed a deterrent.
Sure.
All right, so first...
So when they don't go in the right place...
Yes.
What do we do to them?
I mean, like a dog, do you put their nose in it?
Like
bad,
spray them?
Bad cow.
Good luck putting the cow's nose in it. Yeah. Good luck with that, yeah. You are going to get thrown something fierce. That's
Well, first they put... headphones on the cows
uh-huh.
and played a very nasty sound whenever they urinated outside.
Sure. Okay.
A very nasty sound.
Yes. They didn't care. Cows
of
not into
they
it.
Didn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they did a gentle splash of water. So they did do
the spray bottle
one.
Yeah. Yeah.
How'd the cow feel
what
about that?
What intern got hired to do this?
You don't want that job.
Yeah.
Cows were trained for 45 minutes every other day. And after 10 draining days, they say the team had managed to successfully train 11 out of 16 cows.
Okay.
10 days.
So in theory, if they potty in the toilet, it would just go into our sewer system and be treated with all the other wastewater that we have.
Do we have to modify the pipe size?
Potentially.
Well, they don't go into like a human-sized toilet also. Like it's not like the cow's not sitting in there and you're like, are you done?
Knocking.
Like, somebody's in here. Like, like, can I have a magazine or something? Like,
this is taking me back to the toilet bears from a previous
episode. Oh, right,
episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, what if that toilet bear found a cow? That'd be like a toilet bear's dream day.
Yeah.
Yes. The hope is in a few years, all cows will go in a toilet.
Sure. All right. 11 out of 16 seems like they need to improve their ratio to get to all cows in
sure.
just a few years.
Hey, look, shoot your shot, man. I mean, if that is what you want.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, every farmer is going, no.
Absolutely yeah. not. We're I'm not spending any of my time getting my cows potty trained.
Yeah. Plus, then you got to have like free range potties to go with your free range cattle. Like,
right.
You sure. can't just move the potty everywhere. That doesn't work.
Maybe right. they're wearing pull ups.
There it is. I feel like you don't need to train a cow to use a pull up. You know, you just got to put it on.
Yes. Little movers.
That was clever. Very nice.
Yeah, what happens like overnight? You know, like is somebody in there manning the toilet station to give them their barley? That's a good question.
Probably an intern.
The intern. Unpaid intern. Right. Get in there.
It's a great experience.
Go on, Kevin. You got it.
Yeah.
Don't ask questions.
All right, so let's talk about this article from Salon. It's commentary, so it's all opinion.
Excellent.
There's some facts, I guess.
Ish.
If there's one thing that we like on this podcast.
It's ish of facts.
Yeah. I was going to say it's our own opinions.
Right.
So
that is
facts
true.
Facts that we can ignore.
That's right.
By Phil Zuckerman.
Is he related to Mark Zuckerman?
I don't know who Mark Zuckerman is.
Oh, that would be Zuckerberg. Yeah. That's too bad. Okay.
They're probably cousins, though.
We'll fix it in post.
We won't. Staunch atheists show higher morals than the proudly pious. Mm. From the pandemic to climate change.
I'm sure they're also very moral about climate change as well.
Changing a client, yes. I hear you. When it comes to the most pressing moral issues of the day, hardcore secularists exhibit much more empathy.
So we're equating empathy with moralistic behavior?
I wouldn't trust that byline here.
Okay, that's a byline. All right. Is there a study on which this is being based, or is this just a guy looking around and be like, that person says they're an atheist, they look like they're pretty moral. That person says they're a Christian, they look kind of a jerk. Like, is that the assessment here? What do we got?
Anecdotal.
I think it's somewhat anecdotal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's 100% cherry-picked.
Sure.
And it does have, like...
I wonder why it's cherry-picked and not some other... Anyway, sorry.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Why cherries?
What about cherries? Yeah. Where do cherries grow?
I mean, you pick trees, apples, right? Oranges. Sure. Yes, they do grow in trees. Yeah, because George Washington cut down a cherry tree.
The cherry tree.
Yeah.
He was cherry picking.
The original cherry picker.
Right.
Yeah, George Washington.
Don't come for the Constitution like that.
You heard it here first. We're coming in hot here with our George Washington hot takes.
The original cherry picker. Anywho, all right.
So he does cite several research topics throughout this. Mm-hmm. So what do you think? Before we get into those, what do you think about this initial, his initial theory here? Atheists more moral than the highly religious?
I think there's a lot of unclarity in that. What do we mean by morality? And I don't think that all of us define morality by the same standards.
Sure.
And so are we holding people to the standard of morality that we outline in the Bible? Are we holding people to a different standard of morality or to a secular standard of morality? And some of these, there are very political issues that people have associated with a moral right and moral wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's not always that clear. And so just saying that you stand on a particular side on one issue or another politically doesn't make you a more or less moral person.
Yeah.
Like, for example, right, hunger is terrible, right? And we can all agree that we should be making sure that people are not hungry. But politically, you could say the government should or should not be involved in that, because maybe you think that private citizens or private organizations should be more involved in that. And that's an equally moral position to saying, no, the government should be funding hunger ministries to make sure that, or hunger programs to make sure that people are not hungry. Right? Both of those are moral positions.
Yeah.
They're just different political positions. So I'm skeptical at that level for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would agree that it's helpful to draw a line between morality and political stance, right? And I think that those are very convoluted, especially in the way that we like to talk about them in the church. But I think that they can and do exist separately. I also think that he's not very clear about what he means by the very political versus staunchly atheist. He gets into it a little bit more later, but like in that first little bit, I was like, what do we mean here? Because like, I would consider myself very religious, right? But then what he is talking about is like far right religion.
So he's not just
I'm like, okay, so I'm not that.
Right. He's just talking about a particular
branch
of Christianity.
Yeah. So he gets more specific later on in the article.
Well, it's fun to talk about a particular branch, but generalize it to the entire tree. That's fun.
Yeah. Well, I think for me,
like a cherry,
you know, we've had podcast topics on like Christian nationalism, fundamentalism, even Christians involved in like conspiracy theories. Yep. And so for me, when I hear this by Phil Zuckerman, who, based on the article, I'm going to say, does not find himself very religious.
Okay.
Would be probably staunchly atheist. I have my initial reaction is like, hey, I'm allowed to call my sister ugly, but you're not.
Right.
like that's my family.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to criticize them, but for some outsider coming on in, I don't think so. Yeah. This is a little bit of protection from my stance for my even the people I disagree with on the religious spectrum.
Sure.
But they're one of me.
Yeah.
They're one of us, in a sense.
Yeah.
And so I definitely had that reading the headline and getting into this. But I think it is kind of this question of like, well, and I'm sure we're going to get into like who gets to decide what is moral in society.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
me.
Yeah. Problem solved.
And we're done.
Good episode, everyone.
Right.
And what happens when the secular world defines themselves as better behaved than the religious world mm-hmm. that they're kind of bumping up against. And this may be somewhat new. I think, you know, maybe historically people might say religious people, they're maybe stick in the muds or mm-hmm. fuddy-duddies or kind of annoyingly legalistic.
Ned Flanders is of the world.
The Ned Flanders of the world. Yeah. But Ned Flanders is objectively a better person
right.
than Homer Simpson.
Sure.
So yeah. like, so it's like he's that, but he's also more moral.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what happens when you're all those things, but you're not more moral?
Right.
Is the kind of maybe
then you've got nothing.
Is a little bit more of an interesting question.
Yeah.
All right. So first, he's going to go into what are we going to talk about first? The pandemic.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
So in his, you know, again, his thesis, atheists exhibit a little more moralism when it comes to pandemic versus their religious neighbors. When it comes to mask wearing, getting the vaccine, things like that. And he's also going to kind of, he's also going to give this caveat at the beginning here. There's a large section in the middle. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's much larger than either end combined.
Yeah.
From whether they're nuns and not Catholic nuns.
Right.
But
N-O-N-E.
Yeah. N-O-N-E. Yep. They have no religion mm-hmm. or no beliefs. He does not consider them staunchly atheist, according to this.
Okay.
They're just kind of, they have not thought about that at all. They're not atheists. There's right. none.
No.
And he even kind of says, like, moderately religious. And he would probably include all of us in moderately religious.
Probably, yeah.
Mainly because we're not evangelical. That's
yeah. That's an interesting way to break that down. But okay, yeah, yeah. I'm with you.
Do you consider yourself moderately religious, David?
I do not consider myself. I consider myself slightly more than moderately religious. Right, yeah.
Kind of committed at
if
this
I,
point.
If I were on a scale, I'd be, you know, the slightly above moderate, I guess. I don't know.
I think for him, moderately religious means, and he's going to say this, who are generally liberal and tolerant.
Isn't that funny?
So if I'm moderate, why is that hard word? So
yeah.
hard to say.
It's tough, yeah.
We if I'm it. That, I'm generally liberal and tolerant.
Correct.
I mean, I am at least generally tolerant. I don't know about liberal because I don't know. That's a weirder it's, word to define yeah. myself by. But yeah, tolerant. Yeah, sure. I'm tolerant.
Sure. It's also liberal according to what, right? Like yeah. In the United States, our left-leaning politicians would be
far right.
Center-right yeah. in most countries right. in Europe. So, yep. I mean, like, you know, it's a bit yep. of a spectrum and a bit of a we define ourselves by the other kind yep. of thing. So, yep. all right. Yeah. So, again, like, okay. Even if that may be true, if I do find myself more liberal and tolerant than my neighbors, I guess I'd be very religious. I
mean, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, okay, whatever. Okay, so first up, pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Atheists, they seem to just care more about the pandemic than the religious.
Yeah, I don't have any anecdotal evidence to back up that claim, so I don't, like, just go around and hang out to say, like, hey, atheist, you look like an atheist. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me how you feel about that? Like, you know, that's not
how do you classify what an atheist looks like?
It's tricky, yeah. Let me tell you.
They're among us.
Yeah, that's right. They usually have little devil horns and a tail. That's,
ooh,
that's
usually tough, yeah. yeah. Ooh.
No? I'm too far? Yeah. yeah. That's not true. I don't think that yeah. about atheists. I'm sorry. Yeah, so I don't, I just, it feels completely anecdotal. And I would agree there are plenty of Christians who are not making good choices about this
yeah.
and who are making choices that I might even say are against how I read scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough for me to define that within the context of morality without him knowing what he's saying one way or another. Like, it doesn't feel like he's giving a clear enough definition of morality for me to agree yeah. or disagree. I mean, I agree that there are plenty of people who have a very different understanding of what scripture teaches on this issue and, you know, and how we should respond in accordance with that. But I can't say that that's morality for everyone. I don't know. Like, it's morality for me. Maybe that's where I should be starting. Maybe I'm trying to generalize too far.
Yeah. So he's going to cite, like I said, he does have a lot of sites. These aren't just like anecdotal things. He does have kind of a lot of links to a lot of other places. Mm-hmm. I looked on many of them, not all of them, I can admit. And they all led to other things. I'm not going to pretend I read everything that he
sure,
led to.
Sure, sure,
But he's going to cite a Pew study.
All right.
Which we've...
Yeah, people familiar. Use Pew. We've used that,
yes.
yeah.
Pew, pew.
That they found only 10% of atheists said they would definitely or probably not get vaccinated, with 45% of white evangelicals took such a position.
Hmm. No, I mean, that's not surprising to me, but is getting a vaccine a question of morality?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one. Maybe. Yeah.
Could be.
I think you could certainly argue the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also think this is a little bit of cherry pick data, because he decided that if you're highly religious, therefore
yeah.
you're going to be one of these white evangelicals, even if they rarely go to church or
yeah.
are more Christian-oriented culturally than Christian devout kind of a thing. So in his mind, like, you could be a devout Christian, but if you're a liberal, you're not highly religious. And if you are a white evangelical who's not getting the vaccine, you are highly religious, regardless of your church attendance.
Right, you know, like that.
That's not kind of in, you know, these are more self-reported Christians, according to the research.
So I haven't had this conversation more broadly, but so I'm curious now, because most of the people that I hear, you know, particularly around vaccination, who are refusing vaccines or are saying we don't want to get a vaccine, are citing evidence based on like, oh, well, either I'm not going to put foreign things in my body because, you know, my body is a temple of God or whatever, which is a whole other thing. Or, you know, I'm not going to live in fear of this thing, right? Because, you know, God's stronger than death or whatever. And like, okay, but that's not, anyway, so that's not an appropriate reading of that either. So I don't know what, like, what would the atheist argument against the vaccine be? And I'm sure there are some. Like, I'm sure there are people who are atheist who are anti-vax.
Sure.
I just don't know who that, like, I don't think it's a fair claim to say all atheists are more likely to get a vaccine than people who are religious. I don't think that's a fair claim to make. But I do think there are plenty of Christians who are making poor biblical choices that then look like poor moral choices in the world based on bad theology.
Yeah.
That probably applies to a lot of stuff too, not just vaccinations.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, especially because what I have read is that, you know, sometimes the white evangelicals, in terms of vaccines, are getting a little bit of a bad rap. And it's not necessarily unwarranted, but like that a reality, a large percentage of our population that's not getting vaccinated are 20-year-olds who are predominantly nuns.
Yep.
And they're getting it not for religious reasons or what's in the vaccine. They're getting it mainly because they're like, I'm young, I'm healthy.
I'll be fine.
I'll be fine. Or I don't want to take the time to get this done. What's a little bit of, why would I do that?
Like,
especially if I got to go twice. The second time I could get sick for a couple of days. And I probably already had COVID anyway, so what does it matter? You know, like kind of a thing. So I think that there is a very real percentage of our population who has this attitude that's not founded in their religiosity, but in just this, it's not real to me.
Yeah. That actually probably gets more into morality than like a religious stance does, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because I don't know that your religious belief is necessarily equitable with morality.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point because, you know, let's take Christianity because that's what we're here to talk about, right? The purpose of Christianity is not to be a more moral person.
Right.
Like, Jesus did not come to teach people how to be moral.
Right.
Jesus came and died so that, you know, we all through belief in him have eternal life. And as a result of that belief, it's our understanding that we become more like Jesus, which we think will make us more moral and will lead to a better world.
Right.
But the purpose of Christianity is not to be a more moral person.
Right.
The purpose of Christianity is to bring about salvation for the entire world.
Yeah, it's a belief system, but it's not a moral code.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in fairness, like, I think Christianity has somewhat claimed the moral high ground basically since its inception.
I don't I don't argue with that at all. I just think, you know, it's what Elise is bringing up. It's an interesting point.
Yeah.
You know, is the more moral question of this group of nuns rather than it is with either extreme of these religious, non-religious groups?
Yeah.
I would agree. I think poor Christianity has the idea of like, it's supposed to make, you know, for lack of a better word here, like bad men good.
Right.
Right.
And in reality, I think if you read scripture, it's really to make dead men alive.
Yeah.
Like that's, and they're different. They're very, very different things. Yeah, yeah.
I got it. Thank you.
That is a quote from a Christian theologian. So I'm kind of.
Which one?
Oh, get out of here.
Spurgeon.
I'm editing this out.
I quoted somebody. It's fine.
Right.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's C.S. Lewis.
Probably.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Sounds like somebody you would quote.
Yeah. So sounds like somebody I would quote. So I think like that misconstrued faith or versions of Christianity can present itself as these moral high grounds and things like that. That's not necessarily in the text.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, I mean, look at all these, and Christianity lays claims to a lot of these moral questions. I don't deny that at all. But like, there is nothing scripturally to say that it is more or less moral as far as, you know, how we interact with people in the LGBTQ community, right? There's nothing in scripture that says it's more or less moral to interact one way or another, except that Jesus says, love your neighbor over and over and over and over. And so there's just lots of these places where we've drawn moral lines in the sand when that wasn't the purpose of Christianity.
Yeah. And I would say, too, claiming a Christian belief system does not absolve you of the hard work that you have to do to figure out how to interact with your fellow human beings either. You know, like you still have to get in there and figure out those moral questions, even if your stance is, you know, I'm good, I'm covered, eternal life, all that, you know, that
and
does not absolve you.
And
of
you should desire to do that. Because of
your
belief.
You should want to be a better human while you're here, too.
Right. Yeah, because of our belief in Jesus, right? This is the great Lutheran tradition right here. We do nothing to earn the gift of grace that's given to us. But because we have received that grace, the natural implication of that is that we are in an eternal process of being made more holy or being sanctified, as we might call it, right? And so we're always learning to be more like Jesus, even though we will always fall short, right? We're never going to reach our state of perfection. And it's not about being perfect. But that because you have received this grift, you will always be working towards that goal.
Yeah. All right. Well, next he's going to get into climate change.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to keep going through the article. Okay. We're going to go off on tangents here. That's really fine. Basically, summary of this is atheists and secular people all agree climate change is a big thing caused by man.
Yeah.
We got to do something about it. And women. Mm-hmm. Don't want to leave you out on this one, Elise.
Yeah. I'm also causing climate change.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
White cows and their methane.
Right.
Well, only 33%, according to this PRI study, 33% of white evangelicals.
Oh, we've used PRI before, too.
Yeah. Accept such evidence and thus place it towards the bottom of their political priorities.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
So what do we think here?
Well, I think this is an even trickier one, right? Because there's actually slightly better theology to support, you know, this claim of, you know, God's going to bring about a new creation and everything like that. So I'm not saying that we should, I want to be clear. I support work to care for this creation as it is now, because I think that redeeming the existing creation is God's ultimate plan. But there's a better root in theology for this argument to say that we don't have to care about that than there is for, you know, masks or vaccines or things like that.
This is actually a point where, like, my spiritual opinion on this and my moral code on this kind of diverge a little bit, because to me, I'm new heaven, new earth creation, that kind of stuff. What's going to happen is going to happen, but my moral code on this is leave it better than you found it.
Sure. So. Which I don't think they diverge that much, right? I mean, Martin Luther said, right, if I knew the world was going to end tomorrow, I'd plant a tree.
Right.
Because, you know, it's not just about caring for the earth, but it's about this leaving this thing better than it was and continuing to care for the world around me. As long as we are stewards of this creation. We are stewards of this earth. And so we continue to live into that. And there are plenty of Christians who don't do that. And there probably are plenty of atheists who do a better job of that. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, maybe scripture stands in people's way, right? Maybe your reading of scripture is preventing you from seeing the reality that's in front of you and preventing you from living in a more more realistic way to that.
Yeah.
I think that's a poor reading of scripture. I think scripture should be enhancing our ability to do that, but a bad reading of scripture can do a lot of bad.
Yeah, so I've actually seen this kind of come to a head in an interesting way. One of my favorite TV shows is the show Survivor. And so occasionally on Survivor, they'll get chickens as a reward. And they'll have to decide this
thing. Never get a cow?
They've never gotten a cow.
Have they ever potty trained their chickens?
To my knowledge, no.
Okay.
But next season.
As a tribe, they have to decide this one thing, like, do we kill the chickens and eat them?
Mm.
We're hungry. Here's a chicken. What do we do? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, I have heard some Christians on there.
Are they roosters or are they hens?
They have both.
Okay.
Yeah. Because hens could theoretically lay eggs.
You could get more chickens.
Yeah.
If you got a rooster and a hen, you could get more chickens.
Survivor's not that long.
But you could also get eggs regardless.
Yeah, you could get eggs.
Yep.
Eggs are good.
Theoretically.
Yep. Yep.
That's food.
Evidently, you should be able to get about one egg a day from a chicken.
Okay.
So, yeah.
More than no eggs a day. Yep.
More than no eggs a day.
Out there doing the most.
No eggs for me. I got it's better than I provide for the world most days. So, like, but on the show, we've had situations where Christians have basically said, like, hey, God gave us animals to eat. Let's eat the chicken. They have a secular, like, vegetarian or vegan who basically says, like, this is against morality here. This is a living thing. It's not about just feeding us. It has its own will, its own desires. How could we do such a thing?
Yeah.
And so...
I'm not sure I'm on board with that one. I'm gonna be perfectly honest.
Like, me neither. I'm fine with eating a chicken. Like that's totally fine with me.
Existentially, I've made my peace with it. So
I'm not super down with like me being the one to kill the chicken, but like
I'd rather not.
But if somebody's gonna kill it, yeah, sure. I'll eat it. Yeah. You know, I'll cook it. Dude, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. But I think that this is like, if that's your worldview, it's easy to look at, you know, the Christian in that situation and be like, hey, you're not following my moral right. code. I have this very passionately internal belief that this life matters and it should not be consumed for our, you know, for us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree. I think it's okay to disagree on that. But I think like we're seeing that like this connection to creation or to the environment, however you want to kind of phrase this, does have a split. And yeah. how do we mm-hmm. reconcile that?
Sure. I mean, we even see this play out to some extent biblically, right? When we yeah. when we get into the new church and we start seeing this division between kosher food laws and non-kosher food laws, as we start to expand to the Gentile community, right? Paul and Peter go back and forth about what the best way to live out this morality code, right? Mm-hmm. And how do we become a part of this community? And, you know, ultimately Christianity falls on, we don't need this old morality code. This is a new thing that's happening. And so that's why we're allowed to eat bacon and all sorts of other delicious Whee! Foods. Yeah, hooray. And the people rejoice.
Right.
But so I think we've seen this come to a head previously between religious groups, right? This mm-hmm. isn't just an atheist versus non-atheist. This is within religions, our moral code comes into conflict and mm-hmm. who's right and who's wrong. And you can only really ever hold yourself to your own. You can't hold someone else to your own moral code unless they agree to it.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a mm-hmm. fair standard to call someone else moral or amoral mm-hmm. to say, oh, well, by my standard, you're not moral.
Right.
I mean, yeah. And then you get into the question of, are there universal morals? And I don't know that there
yeah.
are, or at least not in every situation that we try to put them into. Mm-hmm. Like, I think most people would say, yeah, murder is always bad, right? Yeah. Murder, universally bad. Even if it's like in defense of other things, protecting other people, it's still bad, right?
Right? It's still not like a positive thing.
Right,
it's
still not a good yeah. thing, right? And mm-hmm. so, you know, maybe there are things like that. But I think by and large, and just aren't as many universal morals as we think there are.
For sure. Well, I think and also when it comes to terms of climate change, and I've heard this from several Christians who would definitely fall into that 33% who like mm-hmm. are the, I guess the 66% who do not accept it as okay. evidence. Mm-hmm. I've basically been like, I don't really want to get lectured on climate change by people who aren't doing anything about it anyway.
Mm.
Like, yeah. And I think that's
there's a fair point there.
That's pretty yeah. fair. I mean, like, if the idea, you know, if you know, a celebrity X is getting out there, we have to do something about climate change, while they hop into their private jet to jet, yeah. you know, fly around the world, you're like, okay, you do something. Right. Stop doing that. Right. Like, but versus lecturing me on it, I need to make sure my papers and plastics are recycled in my home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think even the data will definitely say, like, my environmental impact personally is really, really small.
Yeah.
And even all of us combined is really, really small, aside from, like, large firm or large scale like manufacturing yep. and shipping and things like that.
And methane from cows.
And methane from cows. Yeah,
it's yes. the cows.
Yes. That actually is a huge problem. I
yes. So I mean, I think it's like, if we really want to do something about climate change, like basically you just got to shut down Amazon
yeah.
and you got to shut down all these major things. Me recycling is so tiny
yeah. mm-hmm.
compared to like what needs to be done.
Yeah.
yeah.
So, and so I can sympathize with that from those kind of Christian brothers and sisters.
Sure.
In the same way that secularists are like, why are Christians lecturing us about sexual morals when they yeah. break them all the time?
Right.
Like,
sure.
You know. All right, he's going to go into a couple more here. We can kind of like just touch on these as we're kind of winding down
sure.
before we get into like
cherry pick pictures. Them, if you will. Yep.
Yeah. Gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
77% of atheists are in favor of banning assault rifles, mm-hmm. well, only 45% of white evangelicals are.
Again, white evangelicals, not Christians.
Yes. Yeah.
Not that white evangelicals are not Christians, but this is a subset
a specific,
of Christianity.
Yeah, yeah
that, I
he,
think
again,
that's an important.
He decided are the
right.
The,
yeah.
the
yeah. I think that's an important distinction.
Yeah. I feel like he did that on purpose, just so the numbers would be more shocking.
I'm sure he did. Yeah. I'm sure he did, yeah. Who supports helping refugees, affordable health care, death with dignity, gay rights, transgender rights, animal rights, opposes militarism, government use of torture, death penalty, corporal punishment, and so on. He has links to on all these. So if you mm-hmm. want to look up all these, Google Salon, Staunch Atheist, you'll find it.
Yep.
Yeah. And he says the correlation remains the most secular Americans exhibit the most care for the suffering of others, while the most religious exhibit the highest levels of indifference.
Again, we're defining most religious as white evangelical
yes.
in the United mm-hmm. States.
Probably
as being the most religious.
Yes. According to him.
Which just, it seems like a, it's just a grossly inappropriate distinction to say that is the most religious group.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think that this goes against, and I think he's not giving charity to the things that Christians are doing and have done
mm-hmm.
that are in terms of objectively good.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to adoption and fostering, Christians are twice as likely as their secular neighbors to adopt or foster children.
Mm-hmm.
The Catholic Church, whether you want to say like good or bad about them, have been staunchly against the death penalty for millennia.
Yeah, a long time. You know,
That the hospital systems here in Houston, which is a major hospital network, there's a reason they're all called St. Luke's or Methodist because they were founded by Christians.
Yep.
Like Christians were highly this. And one of the things he kind of throws in at the end here is like, it looks like members of religious congregations do donate more money to charity than the unaffiliated. But and also like when we think of like, outside of the United States, what are the major secular or atheistic governments and places like that? None of those are places where, like, what a utopia. Russia and China aren't exactly like, sign me up to go live there. Yeah. You know, like.
I mean, I think any religious affiliation with government is a bad idea. And atheism technically is a religious affiliation of a government as well. So,
but I think it remains to be said, like, the people out there that are like staunchly atheistic aren't necessarily doing a better job of running their countries, you know, with
people are people.
Yeah. So I do think there could be something to say of like Christians in America have allowed their marriage to politics to reshape how they view the world through a political lens instead of a Christian lens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a bad thing.
Yes.
We've established that previously. Yeah.
But I don't think it's fair for now a secular worldview who also is doing the same thing to point to the other side and say, well, you're doing it wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
I wish we could just kind of like take the stance of what can we learn from each other, right? Because there's stuff, that, I mean, I've been lucky enough to have some really great atheist friends, and there's stuff they do super well. And I'm always learning from them and feeling very humbled by their, you know, that would call it moral actions and their moral drive and you know, the way they volunteer, the way they spend their money, all that kind of stuff. But this finger pointing, you know, I'm not able to appreciate that. Right. Because to me, it's like, I show up and I'm like, what can I learn from you? You know? And I would hope that they would also want to learn from us, you know, because I think there are things that we do well, like organizing charitable donations for one thing.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
or like Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're familiar with the fictional or satirical publication, The Onion.
I am.
Yes. Yeah.
I love The Onion. I think they're very funny. They kind of come up with stories that are satire, things like this.
Yeah.
And they wrote a fictional commentary several years ago that made me laugh when I read the headline. Local church full of brainwashed idiots feeds town's poor every week.
I like it.
All right.
Yeah, and I think like this is kind of like, I agree. There's a lot white evangelicals and the religiously pious are doing wrong, especially on major issues. But to ignore like, when it comes down to it, like the majority of the world's orphanages and homeless shelters are founded and run by Christians. Like these are not accidental things. And so, like, to lack of a better word, whitewash us all with this big brush is unfair.
Yep.
But on the same time, Christians, the world is watching in a much more real way. And they're seeing, like, hey, we don't need to be a member of a church to be moral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for thousands of years, it feels like you got to hold that over our heads and say you had to do these things or you were immoral. And like, it's not true.
Yeah.
And that is also true.
Which is why the message of the church is even more powerful now than it was before, because now you don't have to come to church just to be moral.
Yes.
So you come to church for what church really has to offer, which is life.
Yeah.
And that's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
New life, that is.
Let's do it.
Yeah. I just did.
Get some new life.
Yeah. Get it. Come to church this Sunday. We'll have it for you.
Black gold, Texas tea.
No, we won't have that.
Reminding me of the intro to the Beverly Hillbillies. Yeah, I figured out what that is. I'm sorry.
Is oil new life now? Is it? We will not have oil.
In Texas, it is. Yeah.
Please do not come to Lord of Life looking for crude oil on Sunday. Right. That will not work. We do not have any that we know
could
of.
Be underneath there. We don't know.
We don't have the rights to it if we do.
We don't have the rights to our what's underneath our property?
I believe that in the Woodlands, no one has the rights to what's underneath of our property.
Interesting. I had no idea.
I know I don't. And so at least in residential agreements, that's the deal. I don't know about anybody else.
So you find oil underneath your house. You're like, well, not yours.
Tell nobody.
Yeah.
Tell nobody.
I think that's correct.
Just slowly.
That was
bring it up on your own. Yeah.
That was how it was explained to me when we bought our house.
Yeah. The mineral rights are separate, right?
Yeah.
You have to purchase those separately.
When you bought your house, you're like, hey, just so you know, if you find oil under your house, it's not yours.
That's like, they talked about mineral rights and that like you only own like a certain depth and anything beneath that is not actually your property.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Who owns that?
I don't know. Not me.
Yeah.
I want to own it. I'm going to buy it underneath your house.
I will refuse to sell to
you. You can't sell it. You don't own it.
Ah, shoot. All right. Well, we've clearly gone down a rabbit hole. So if you liked this episode or any of our other episodes, be sure to find us at beyondsundaypodcast.com. You can let us know what you think or tell us about some of your great moral quandaries and how your faith has helped you or hindered you in those processes. And you can send those to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.